Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Good morning, church. How you doing? So good to be bringing the word this morning, but you know, when Luke was introducing before, saying that the mama of the house, I'm really the grandmama of the house now, not the mama. And because of that, you know, I just thought I would take initiative to show you some photos of the latest addition to our family. Radley Paul Deong was born 1 week ago yesterday, and he's our newest grandson. Isn't he cute? I can't say he looks like me, but he's very cute. But what a beautiful addition, a little gift from God that he's given us over the last past week. And he's just adorable. But I'm really excited about this series that we are starting today. Over the next 3 weeks, like Pastor Luke said, we're going to be focusing on prayer. You know, as a church, we believe in the power of prayer. And about 18 months ago, I just wanted to remind us, maybe some of you don't know about Miracle Mondays, but to remind us again, if you already do know, that every Monday, about 18 months ago, actually as a result of Pastor Paul having the need of a miracle in his own life, we felt to initiate Miracle Mondays. And Miracle Mondays is something where it's actually online. If you go to the website, you'll see Miracle Mondays. You can click on and find out everything about it in more detail. But basically, because we believe in the power of prayer, we wanted to just get the church rallied together to pray on Mondays, not just for Pastor Paul, but for everyone that has a need, that needs a supernatural intervention from God. And I would say it's probably everybody, one of us in this room tonight, today. And if you're watching online as well, I just want to encourage everyone in Melbourne. It's so good to be joining with Melbourne today and all our campuses. And I just want to encourage all of us to go to the website or just make sure on Mondays. What I do is set an alarm for 12 o'clock midday every Monday. And for the past 18 months, I have been praying and fasting, and I know a lot of you have. And just coming before the throne room of heaven and saying, God, we need your intervention. We are completely dependent upon you, and we just pray that God will have his way, not only in Pastor Paul, like I said, but in everybody's need. And I think that there's just so much power in collective prayer when we come together. I know without a shadow of a doubt that the thousands of people that are praying for Pastor Paul is a reason why he can stand up on the stage this morning and declare the word of God and the goodness of God. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you look online over the next 3 years, the next 3 weeks. And then at the end of that, all the prayers, put your prayer on there. There's room for you to add a prayer, add a praise report, and we can all look together to see that, yes, I can pray for that person. I'll stand with you. There's a little click button that you can click to say, I'm praying with you. And it's just so encouraging to know somebody's standing with you in your own need. So I want to encourage you to go online and do that. And then we're going to have a prayer wall that the team, the amazing technical team have arranged, that they can put it all on the screen. And we're going to, as a church, just really declare and stand together and pray for miracles in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Now, when I was thinking about this series, thank you, team, you're amazing. Let's give them a hand. One of the first things that came to mind when I was thinking about this prayer series was when I was a young girl, and just how much that I adored my daddy. I would follow him around wherever he went. Every opportunity that I had, I just wanted to be with him because I loved him. Not because I wanted anything from him, but just because I wanted to be where he was whenever and wherever I could. And I remember one of the fondest memories I do have was when he would finish work, I would count down the hours that he would be home. And I remember just waiting in the lounge room thinking, when can I actually go to meet him at the bus stop? He used to catch a bus to work, and at the back of our home, our back fence had a gate, and there were houses were back to back onto each other, and I would go up the laneway and up to the bus stop and wait for my dad. And I would wait with anticipation that any minute now he was going to get off that bus and he was going to come home with me. Some days we would walk down to the candy store, and we used to call it a milk bar in Australia, and here it's a dairy, somebody else might call it a corner store. But we would walk down to the corner store, some days get candy. In those days, you could have sixpence would buy you a huge big bag of lollies. And it was just so exciting when my dad came home. And then once we got home, I would just feel safe and secure. It felt like the world was okay when I was with my dad. And as a child, he was the center of my life. Really, my identity was wrapped up in him. My security was in him. I remember now as a parent and a grandma myself, I realize I probably was a pain in the butt to him, but I just wanted to be where he was. When he went to the bathroom, I would sit in the hallway outside waiting for him. Wherever he went around the house, he had a favorite chair that he would sit on. I would be there right beside him in the chair because I just wanted to be with him. I would probably call myself a lingerer because wherever he was, I wanted to linger and just be with him. I remember at times waking up afraid and going with my big panda, who was just about as big as I was, and I would tap him on the shoulder and say, "Can I please come in because I'm scared?" And when I was fearful, I would go to him and he would allow me to come into bed and I would fall asleep. Much to my mother's disgust, she would be like less and less room in the bed and therefore less and less sleep during the night. But he never made me feel like I wasn't wanted. I've entitled this message, Lingering by the Gate, from my experience with my dad. It's a simple message, but I believe very profound, and how God wants us to see him. To linger means to stay somewhere beyond the usual or expected time. To remain, to stay, to abide. That was me with my dad. There was one Bible definition that said that lingering was being with God without an agenda. I love that thought, that you just want to be with him because you want to be with him. Not because you want anything from him, but you just want to be. Psalm 91:1 in the Amplified said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand." And I think of our relationship with our Heavenly Father similar to that closeness of a relationship that I had with my own father, that simple communication and trust that I had as a child with my dad. To me, that is the foundation of prayer. Relationship is the foundation where prayer begins. A pure relationship with simplicity and humility. It's not complicated. It's a relationship. It's a love. It's an understanding between one another. Luke 18:16-17 in the Passion. "But Jesus called for the parents, the children, and his disciples to come and listen to him. Then he told them, 'Never hinder a child from coming to me. Let them all come, for God's kingdom realm belongs to them as much as it does to anyone else. They demonstrate to you what faith is all about. Learn this well. Unless you receive the revelation of the kingdom realm, the same way a little child receives it, you will never be able to enter it." I was so blessed in the prayer meeting before the service today to pray with our two of our granddaughters and Simon and Erin's little girl. And the simplicity and faith and trust that those little girls prayed with was just so beautiful. because they just believe. They didn't have a ritual prayer. They had a heart prayers. They had prayers that had faith to believe that God was listening to them and that he would answer their prayer. So the foundation of prayer is relationship, not a formula, not a theology, but personal. As a young girl, I was taught ritual kind of prayers. I was taught recital kind of prayers. Some of you may know what I'm talking about, however you've been brought up. But looking back, I was like praying to somebody I didn't really know. It was like praying to somebody that I hoped they would hear what I was saying, but I wasn't really sure that they would. It wasn't a personal relationship. Many people today pray to dead gods with dead results because there's no personal relationship. But God wants us to have a revelation that he is our Father and that he wants to hear with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to hear from us. And I remember as an 18-year-old girl becoming a Christian and being in a group like our Connect groups for the first time. And at the end of the group, everybody around was taking turns to pray. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to expect me to do that soon. And I remember just feeling absolutely terrified that I was going to have to pray out loud. Because at that stage, I still didn't have the revelation that I could just pray from my heart, from this new relationship with a Heavenly Father that I had found myself in. And I was so nervous that I would say the wrong thing, pray the wrong thing, and not recite the best prayer. But I soon realized over time, it's out of relationship from my heart that God wants to hear from me, not the best prayer. And I liken the difference between what I knew earlier as a young girl to that experience and from that experience of the Old Testament to the New Testament. It was so different. I had to learn to undo a legalistic method or law kind of praying to a personal relationship kind of praying. And we've been given the privilege as sons and as daughters today to have this incredible relationship with a Heavenly Father. We are children of God. Not because we've done anything special, but because of what Jesus has done to make a way possible for us to have a personal relationship just like he did. So our foundation of prayer is through our relationship. You know, that may be simple, but it's very profound. To me, that simplicity and that revelation that I got of a loving Father completely, profoundly changed the way I lived my life and the way I prayed. Psalm 91:14 says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, kindness, and trust, and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." These verses speak very clearly of a personal relationship that we can have. You know, Jesus modeled to us the way that we can, and he encouraged us to pray the same as he did, have that relationship. He had a very close, intimate relationship with his Father. And at any time of the day, he pulled himself aside to everything that was going on around him and drew from that relationship that he had. He modeled to us that we could have that same father-son, father-daughter relationship. Not a distant relationship. We don't pray to a distant, faraway God. We have a Father that is with us. No matter where we are today, in this auditorium, in whatever campus you're at, online, he's with us today. He loves us. And he wants us to just have honest communication. Matthew 6, 7 to 9 in the Passion Translation says, "When you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like those who don't know God, for they expect God to hear them because of their many words. There is no need to imitate them, since your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day." When I pray personally, I have a picture of dwelling, of lingering by the gates of heaven and chatting with my heavenly Father, just like I did with my earthly father when he was alive. Having an honest communication with him, waiting by heaven's gate. To wait means to stay and to rest in expectation. Not to just wishfully think somebody's there. If you are there, you might hear me, but knowing that he is and that he does and he loves us. I remember that feeling with my dad. It was a safe place. And it's the same with our God. A safe place knowing that my earthly dad, I knew that he loved me. And that acknowledgement made me feel safe and secure, and that he was right there with me. We have, church, the same access to heaven's throne. Each and every one of us today have that access to the Father's heart. I don't know about you, but I am so, so thankful for that. That I get, no matter what I've done, or what my past was, that I have access to the throne room of heaven and to my Father's, Heavenly Father's heart today. Thessalonians encourages us to make our life a prayer. How do we do that? How do we make our life a prayer? We make our life a prayer through relationship, through our communication, through lingering by heaven's gate, talking with our Father at any time of the day. And Jesus taught us that we could come just as he did to his Father. When the disciples observed something very different about the way Jesus prayed to what they had known others in synagogues to pray, and they observed a relationship that they wanted, and they said, "Can you please teach us how to pray? We want that relationship that you told them." And this is what he said: "Our Father in heaven, that's how you do it. He's your Father. He wants to hear from you." I know there are many people in the room today, maybe online, wherever you're watching, you don't have very good memories of a good father. Some may have had a distant father. Some may have had an angry father. Some may have had a father that just was void of a relationship in your life. And in my own life, I am thankful. Even though I only had my father alive for 10 years, I had a great relationship with him. And I can stand on that foundation today to my relationship with my heavenly Father. But you know, for some, maybe today you have regrets. Maybe you think, "I can't pray, I can't go to God because I've got regrets." You may feel shame for what you've done, or maybe even something that you're currently caught in today, and you feel like you're not worthy to go to God. Well, join the club. Nobody is worthy on their own. We're only worthy because of what Jesus has done and showing us the way that we can have relationship with our Father. Yeah. It's because of him that we have access to this relationship. The enemy will try and hold us back. I know for many people, they are just being so ripped off because whether it is through shame, whether it is through regret, whatever it is, unforgiveness, even holding on to a victim mentality. You can be angry, blaming God. The enemy would love nothing more to keep you from that relationship. But the reality is, no matter what we have done, where we have come from, God knows us and he still wants relationship with us. It's an into-me-see relationship. God understands that and he just wants us to know that he loves us dearly. In the story of Luke, there's a story about a prodigal son. I'm sure we've all heard about it. And this son wanted his inheritance so that he could go and live his life on wild living, the party life. So off he went and he blew all that he had, all his inheritance. And he finally came to the end of himself. And at the end of himself, he realized that he wanted to go back to his father. The thing about the son is he was so consumed about what he had done wrong, consumed with his mess. But the father was waiting for him, consumed with his love for his son. He didn't care about the mess that the son had been into. He just loved him so much. He was consumed with his love for his son and wanted his son to come home. And it says when the father, the son acknowledged the father was actually waiting with open arms for the son. He didn't hold back. He opened up his arm, and God's the same for each and every one of us today. No matter where we've come from or what we've done, his arms are always open wide. He's a good, good God, amen? And a loving father. I'm just going to draw quickly from three parallels that I live my life and relationship with my Heavenly Father from today that I had with my own dad. And the first one is gratitude. You know, as a young girl, I was just so grateful that my dad was my dad. And I came to him with that gratefulness. It's foundational and fundamental to my relationship today with God. I'm so grateful that he loves me. I'm so grateful that he is my Heavenly Father. And with my dad, I was just grateful to be his daughter, grateful that he loved me. Now, gratitude is a heart of thankfulness, not entitlement. Many people live with an entitled feeling, but when you're grateful, it's just a thankfulness that God loves you. God cares about you. He sees you. When we get that revelation of a Heavenly Father that loves us, we cannot help but be grateful for his love, his mercy, his kindness, just for who he is to us, our Heavenly Father. He's Almighty God, yet our loving Father. He's Majestic King, but our personal Savior. The Creator of the universe, yet he knows each and every one of us by name today. And I'm just so grateful that we belong to him. Psalm 101:5 says, lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord. Go ahead and do it, everyone, everywhere. As you serve him, be glad and worship him. Sing your way into his presence with joy and realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping the Lord our God, for he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you, so kind that it will astound you. And he's famous for his faithfulness toward all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. How amazing is that? Praise and gratitude really is the power of heaven. As the song says, it's the power that opens the door. It's the power that opens the door. In my daily prayer life, I want to be reminded and mindful not to take for granted what it costs for me to have this relationship, but stay grateful for what God has saved me from, first and foremost. Save me from myself, and then start the day with a praise pause. So gratitude is one. and dependence is the other. As a young girl, and Jesus clearly teaches us to go from a relationship of the little child when we come to him, knowing that he will just accept us and has open arms toward us. I was dependent on my dad. I was dependent on him to protect me, dependent on him to correct me, to teach me. I wasn't dependent on myself. I was dependent on him. I was totally dependent on his love and care for me. I trusted he had my best interests at heart because he was my dad. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. When we come to him with a dependent heart, not independent, but dependent on who he is in our life. I think our prayer life exposes our lack of or our dependence on God. How much we come to him and depend upon him rather than make our own decisions, rather than live our life our own way, but depend on who he is. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions." Wow, social media. "With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make." If you've got some big decisions to make, you can trust on your Heavenly Father. So when we need guidance, when we need wisdom, when we need intervention, when we come across roadblocks in our life, who are we depending on? Because our Heavenly Father loves us, and he's the one that can help us in this journey of life. And the journey of life is where we do get to trust him. The ups and downs, the seasons that Pastor Paul talked about, is where we get to trust him, where we get to depend upon him, depend upon his word, not in ourselves or our circumstances, but in the relationship that we have with our Father. In my own prayer, I want to stay mindful to acknowledge my absolute need of him as my necessity for life. So gratitude, dependence, and then finally expectation. My expectation as a young girl was that my dad wanted me to come and sit on his lap, that my dad wanted me around. I never entertained the thought that he wouldn't want me around, because he was my dad and I loved him and I knew that he loved me. I had an expectation as I talked to him about my concerns of the day as a little girl that he would listen, that he would have a solution, that he cared enough to help me. When we expect something, we have a belief. When we come to our Heavenly Father, we need to come with an expectation that he's going to answer, that he's going to be there for us, that he has our best interest at heart. There was a story in John about a friend of Jesus who was dying, and his sisters who were also a friend of Jesus. His name was Lazarus. And they asked Jesus to come because their brother was dying. And by the time Jesus got to them, he took a few days to get there. The brother had died. And no doubt, obviously, the sisters were despondent when Jesus arrived and said, "He's already dead. You didn't come, Jesus." And he gave them a challenge. I believe he challenged their expectation. And the story is in John 11, 38 to 41. Jesus, with intense emotions, came to the tomb, a cave with a stone placed over its entrance. Jesus told them, "Roll away the stone." Then Martha said, "But Lord, it's been 4 days since he died. By now his body's already decomposing." And Jesus looked at her and said, have you ever had Jesus saying, "Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me"? "Didn't I tell you that if you will believe in me, not in the circumstance, but if you believe in me, Right now, that's what I'm doing for Pastor Paul. Believing in God, not the circumstance. You will see God unveil his power. So they rolled away the heavy stone. Jesus gazed into heaven and said, Father, thank you that you have heard my prayer and for you listen to every word I speak. Now, so that those who stand here with me will believe that you have sent me to the earth as your messenger, I will use the power you have given me. That same power has been given to us, church. Then with a loud voice, Jesus shouted with authority, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. I love that. The authority and expectation that Jesus had. And when our expectation, when our faith is in him, we can access that same power because he is our hope and he is our authority. Because we're his sons, we're his daughters, we're not strangers. We are his children today. All power, all authority is available to us when we pray. Pete Grieg, he's the founder of 24/7 Prayer Movement, said this, the most important discovery you'll ever make is the love the Father has for you. Your power in prayer will flow from the certainty that what the one who made you likes you. He's not scowling at you. He's on your side. Unless our mission and our acts of mercy, our intercession, petition, confession, and spiritual warfare begin and end in the knowledge of the Father's love, we will act out of desperation, determination, and duty instead of revelation, expectation, and joy. I love that. In my daily prayer, I want to remain mindful that I can boldly enter the throne room of heaven, that my Heavenly Father hears me. And not only does he hear, he cares, and he has the ultimate authority. And it's the same for each and every one of us this morning. Again, let's be mindful of what Thessalonians tells us, to make our life a prayer. Not a ritual, not a distant relationship or distant God, but a God that's right here, right in your lounge room this morning, if you're watching online, right across the ditch to Melbourne this morning, right here in this auditorium, our God loves us. And the team are going to sing a song over us in a moment. And I pray that we just have a fresh revelation today of the power in the relationship that we have already got. We're not earning it, we've got it through the love of a good, good Father in Jesus' name. Come on, team, let's sing.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online, wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.